You know what? I love your hair color.
You do?
I wish our audience could see it. It's so good.
You. It's very good. This is not about sustainability right now.
No, let's talk about sustainability. Let's do that.
Yeah.
Which is an undefinable term, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the industry, or one that is overly defined, maybe?
Both.
Yeah. A million definitions.
Yes, both.
Who the fuck
and
knows
yes.
what it means?
You have so no often that we no longer know what it is.
We have no idea.
And so many people throw it around, and I never know what they're actually saying to me anymore.
Yeah. I know. It's so true.
This is sustainable. Yeah, well, so is, no, I guess, mean? I don't know.
Because it's like, it affects so many different parts of life, right? But then when we think about it within the industry...
Wait, is this still the cold open?
Yeah, this is a cold open.
Oh, this is a terrible cold open.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
She's
so
motoring
bad.
Into something.
Oh, okay,
into
motor,
to a big thing.
Okay, all right.
This is all exposition.
All right, come on, motor.
Welcome
motor
to Rough Cut. I'm JB Jones.
I'm Alan Seaman.
All right, and today we have a special guest.
Yes.
I'm Emily Vasselund.
Yes.
I'm so
she's back.
Excited.
She's back for more,
I'm back.
Yes.
Thank you so much for having me back. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we're thrilled to have you back because your last episode on copying was such a big smash hit for us and you did such a beautiful job.
So
we just liked
fun.
Having you here. Even if that episode wasn't great, we used
no, we had fun.
Even if it cratered, you'd have me back, right?
Do you remember how hot that studio was that we were in last time?
That was a smoking studio.
It was fucking disgusting. It was so disgusting.
Well, I remember that every 5 minutes you turned to your poor producer and said, I can't deal with this.
Lies. Lies. Fake news.
Tyrannical, yes.
No, how dare you in my own home? How could you?
Look at this upgrade we got.
Yes, this is a huge upgrade.
But... Sustainability. Get into it.
Yeah.
So we're here to talk about...
You should get into
it. You should get into it.
Yeah. Today we're going to talk about B Corps. B Corp certification, which is maybe a term you guys have heard of, maybe one you haven't. Emily's written some great articles on the subject.
Let's introduce her again, just in case our audience doesn't know or didn't hear the last
Emily
episode.
Emily Vasselund is our guest today.
Yes.
And so what excited. Tell us what you do, because you do so many things.
A million things.
My main thing is working for Jewelers Mutual Group. And they wanted Mark Smelzer, my old boss at JCK, who was a publisher at JCK, to create an editorial site for it's trade, so still a little bit like JCK. Mm-hmm. And we launched last year the Zing Report, and
amazing.
It's a Jewelers Mutual site. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have a weekly newsletter. We are now also right on the edge of having our first annual summit. It's a jewelry industry leadership
that
summit.
That's happening October 14th.
That's October 14th through 17th in Park City, Utah.
Right,
but you guys, the stuff that we're doing on this retreat, just if I could, and you can cut this out if you need it for time, is pretty crazy because we're going to be partnering with New York's kind of retail futurist organization called PSFK.
Okay.
And they are essentially programming the first day. The second day, Mark and I have programmed, and we have so many incredible speakers.
Oh my gosh,
we have speakers
amazing.
From inside the industry and outside of the industry. Like
and
we have somebody coming from Estee Lauder.
You didn't invite JB and I because...
We invited you guys.
Yeah,
JB.
We were invited.
Oh, we were.
I can go, yeah. I really want to go. Yeah.
I will go around her
next time. But it's going to be so much fun. And I just want to say.
I'm really sad to miss it, to be honest.
That Iris Vanderbecken from the Watch and Jewelry Initiative in Europe, she used to be the executive director of the Responsible Jewelry Council.
Do you know about
She's going to do a whole thing on sustainability.
Amazing.
Oh,
and that's why I brought this up in the first place.
Is she from Switzerland?
I think she's Dutch.
Oh. Yeah. I was going to ask, do you know about the vault? We mentioned it on the last episode.
No. Episode hasn't been released.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. But
there's a vault.
There's a Swiss vault full of watches in Switzerland, and it's secret.
Who owns it?
We don't know
anything about
it.
How did you hear about it?
From a watch store in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Interesting.
Oh, yes. There is a vault.
Sounds like a dream.
I want to know about the vault.
Yes.
I'm going to keep bringing
this. Podcast
do you know
about
what's
it.
So silly about
this?
We've
got to do a podcast about
it. I've mentioned it now twice, and I didn't even bother to do a Google search just to even confirm that this is a thing.
Wow.
Yeah. This is literally
no facts,
hearsay.
Just opinion.
No facts.
It's a fact-free zone.
From day one.
Wait, let's go back. How do people find out about the summit if...
Where did they go? So it's called Conversations in Park City. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you go to conversationsinparkcity.com/conversations, totally wrong. Okay. jewelersmutual.com/conversations. They will see the agenda and everything that we're doing this year. And it's the first year. And it's really this huge, experiment.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations. That's huge. And
we are thrilled.
All right.
So,
we should focus.
B-Corps.
B-Corps from B-Lab. Not labs,
lab.
So I'm going to give
Wait, hold on. B Corps, but B Lab.
So it's actually B Corps certified companies from B Lab.
Got it.
Yeah. So let me do a little definition just to kick this off so we all know what we're talking about today. B Corp certification, this isn't, everyone, just a jewelry-centric thing. This is for any business, right? But we're going to talk about it in relation to jewelry. B Corp certification is a designation that a business is meeting high standards of verified performance, accountability, and transparency on factors from employee benefits and charitable giving to supply chain practices and input materials. In order to achieve certification, a company must, and I'm just going to briefly touch on these.
Oh, God, please keep it brief.
Because there's a lot of things.
Yeah, demonstrate high social and environmental performance. Make a legal commitment to be accountable to stakeholders and shareholders. And exhibit transparency in their performance.
Okay.
So that's it. I know you know more about B Lab.
Well, B Lab, I can tell you that there were a group of founding stewards for B Lab, and one of those founding stewards was Jerry from Ben & Jerry's.
Oh, really?
Jerry Greenfield. And then I will, I'm not familiar with these people, but I'm going to just sort of fire them off. Armonia, Clara Fund, Jerry Greenfield, Jeffrey Hollander, CEO, co-founder, American Sustainable Business Council, co-founder and former CEO, Seventh Generation, which we love Seventh Generation, right?
Wow.
Yeah. Adjunct professor, Stern Business School, New York University, David, this is kind of running together, sorry, David and Lori Hodgson, John P. and Ann Welsh, McNulty Foundation, Christy and Jared Myers, founder Legacy Vacation Resorts, a certified B Corp, co-founder Florida for Good, founding director Climate First Bank. All of that ran together, and I apologize, but the names were in there. Yeah.
The names were in there.
The names were in there, and these are the people who came together in 2006, and they said, we began in 2006 with the idea that a different kind of economy was not only possible, but necessary, and the business could lead the way towards a new stakeholder-driven model. B Lab became known for certifying B corporations, which are companies that meet high standards of social and environmental performance and accountability and transparency. Yeah. So it's like a movement, right?
Wow.
It is, yeah.
So how many businesses follow this now at this point?
So there's just under 6,000.
And this is in the United States exclusively?
No, globally.
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 It's not that many.
Yeah, we need
more. It's not that many.
If it's global, we need more.
But it's a rigorous process.
That's what I've heard.
Approved.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Oh, all right. I've heard about rigor in sustainability. We do this, we do that. We recycle this, we recycle that. We don't put this in the water, but we did put this up our anuses. I don't know.
But this is the problem.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
I hear this all the time.
Yeah.
It means nothing to me.
Well, there's never been regulation around terms. Let's start with that.
Well, in the United States, you can call something sustainable, or you can call it organic, without having to follow any specific
without having to prove anything. Yeah.
Correct. This is not; these are not government regulated terms.
Right. Exactly.
They mean
or
nothing.
Ethical. Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Or, ethical. You can say, and that means anything. That means like I don't murder babies and eat their spines.
Yeah.
That is ethical.
Right. Yeah, like I recycle in my home.
Yeah.
So my brand is ethical.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not enough.
Yeah.
Right.
I use one of those yoni eggs from Goop.
Right. Therefore, sustainable, because I use it again and again.
Yeah, you're right. Over and over.
Do you?
Over and over. No,
no,
I don't. I knew I was stepping into it with that one.
Like, wait, it's not the first time we've talked about yoni eggs on this jewelry podcast.
Why do they keep coming up? I wonder.
Who uses them? Do you know anybody who uses them?
I actually do know people
you
who use
do.
Them. And I think it's crazy.
I think it's crazy.
I think it's nuts.
Crazy.
I think it's nuts. People put... I wouldn't put... well, anyway... Let's move on.
Moving on.
And steaming? I don't know.
Oh, no.
That just sounds like a yeast infection waiting to happen,
I really does.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so I think we've
That's not sustainable.
That's not sustainable.
That is not sustainable.
I think the thing thing we've established is there's vagueness is the norm,
yeah.
right? And it's all about just selling your product.
Right.
Right. When it right. comes to jewelry, it's like, oh, hey guys, sustainability is hot. Let's put that on the website.
Yeah. Or right. it's green. We call it green.
Define it. And when you read these, which I do, I'm sure you do too. And yeah. maybe mm-hmm. you do as well. Like
I've read. Oh, I've read before.
But on jewelers' websites, yeah. when you read, because I'm mm-hmm. always like, oh yeah, I want to know about your sustainable practices. And yes. it's so vague.
Right. So maybe they use Fairmine gold.
Yeah.
And they
recycled
gold. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And even what does that mean? All gold's recycled. Yeah.
Right.
Fairmine, if you capitalize it or don't, can mean a very
different
thing.
You know, I used to say right. this to jewelers all the time who would put on their websites or on their Instagram, you know, sort of emphasizing the fact that their stuff is handmade. If they were clients of mine, I'm always like, do you do realize all of it is handmade? So one degree or another, like all jewelry is handmade. Yeah. All fine
right,
jewelry.
Right.
Fine jewelry. It's always handmade. So right. this isn't really like a pitch, you know? Like
right. It's not the selling point.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's how I feel yeah. about those terms. I think that yeah. we had a wonderful conversation with the ladies from Bond Hardware. Mm-hmm. They spoke at length and very intelligently about their actual sustainable practices. They yeah. really understood the chemistry, the manufacturing, every step of production mm-hmm. in a really deep way. And they were able to speak on that. That is, in the 6 years I've done this, just having my own business, the first and only time I've heard a designer able mm. to actually define how they keep their brands sustainable, all right. of those
Interesting.
Things.
Yeah, putting Interesting. In the work.
Yeah.
And the
yeah.
B Corp, so the B Lab, mm-hmm. they do away with those vagarities, right? If
yes.
you've gone through exactly. that process and you then are stating that you're ethical or sustainable, you have been proven to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's yeah. why, since I wrote the stories last year and sort of found out a little bit about it, I look for it now. I look for that B on mm-hmm. the back of, especially mm-hmm. beauty brands, anything that I put on my skin, I'm looking for the B yeah. Corp sign.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I actually, the first time I ever heard about it was through a jeweler, through Monica Rich Cozan.
Oh, yeah.
Cozan? We always talk about pronunciation. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But sure. she's a fantastic fine, you know, a long time fine jewelry designer. And she said, I wrote a story about her becoming B Corp certified.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, why'd you do it? What do you get out of it? And mm-hmm. she was like, it was hard. It was rigorous. It was long. But she said, now we can really say sustainability. We can really talk about ethics. We can mm-hmm. talk about corporate responsibility, which mm-hmm. I want to talk about mm-hmm. later.
Yes.
And it's been proven. Like, we've yeah. passed that bar. We've hurdled that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think it's a great demarcation for companies to strive towards so that they can you know, back it up.
Mm-hmm.
Enough yeah. with, like, the empty sort of, you right. know, words. Like, back it up. Yeah. Really?
Exactly.
So go through the certification right. and show me that you have been, from a third party, verified mm-hmm. to be great, you know, great citizens and doing the right things yeah. in these certain areas. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think... It's great.
It's
yeah.
great. Well, in yeah. the circular aspect of it, like we're talking about, like sustainability can mean all these different things. But what's so interesting about this B Corp certification is it is that accountability. Mm-hmm. It is how are you making the goods? It's the transparency. Yeah. It's all of the things put together in that full 360 view of what sustainability mm-hmm. can be.
Right.
And then saying, yeah, you can do it, but you have to be all the things. You can't just be
one thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You have to be a conscious citizen in
yeah.
the world, a conscious business owner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And yeah,
the whole scope of how we live and thrive.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
No, I like that kind of multilateral, multi-layered kind of level of certification, because it yeah. oftentimes, I think what ends up happening is you do have brands who will technically recycle gold, again, whatever that actually means,
mm-hmm.
and yeah. call themselves sustainable because of that one part of their practice, which doesn't filter through the rest of their business. It's
yeah,
sort
right.
of like the whole conversation around lab-grown diamonds being more sustainable,
right.
while simultaneously ignoring the amount of energy it takes to produce a lab-grown diamond.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
right.
that there's a real,
over it.
Exactly,
yeah.
there's a
yeah.
real cost right. to actually producing
yeah.
a lab-grown
yep.
diamond. We're not mining for them, but there is energy expended elsewhere and pollution produced elsewhere.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I like that kind of multilateral thinking
yeah.
about it.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I like the most about B Corp certification is that you have proven to not be a jackass to your employees.
Oh yeah.
Oh really?
Yeah. You so have that's so part about of it. That too. Yeah, you that's have brilliant. To they what do they call stakeholders? You have yeah. to basically your employees have to be treated fairly, mm-hmm. paid fairly. Mm-hmm. All your sort of like HR practices have to be, mm-hmm. you know, lined up and mm-hmm. very sound. Mm-hmm. And you can't do things like we've known some jewelry companies to have done, which is mm-hmm. sort of have like a smiley, great, altruistic front.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And yeah. behind
donating
the scenes
something.
They're yeah. they're barely paying their employees,
yeah, do you
and
name
there's
them?
No health insurance. We
Would
cannot
you like
name,
to name them.
Them.
Right.
You can
but
name
no. Okay. But but
like
I know
Emily,
a few.
Would you like to name them?
No, I know a few though who sort of like they say and claim to be all about everything good in this world,
right.
and everything
community
that we love, community,
yeah.
and this mm-hmm. kind of thing. And then you hear from an employee like
equity,
like things
yeah.
are falling apart behind closed doors.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
we're not, we don't have any vacation time.
Yeah.
When we call out sick, it's a big deal.
I have insider
yeah. and,
information.
Oh, tell us.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to name the company.
No. Yeah. What?
So I have a client who actually used to work for them uh-huh. as a designer.
Yeah.
And the horror shit show stories that I have heard about the way that they treat employees, the way that they pay or do not pay, kind of creators who contribute to the brand,
yeah.
et cetera, et cetera. They're very happy to shell out for a very expensive ad campaign, but
yeah.
everything else is just... Yeah. It's a complete horror.
It's a sham.
Well,
it's a total
thing,
sham,
yeah.
but
yeah.
they have a front of like
of
no,
glamour
no, care
and
about
caring.
Right.
Exactly, and, yeah.
all of these
well,
things.
And
yeah.
hopefully that I'm hoping the social pressure
mm-hmm.
of
yes.
doing this will eventually reach those businesses that are so big that are operating, you know, however the fuck they want.
I mean,
you know?
it's really the old way of doing business,
yeah.
right? Where it's like. Don't look behind the curtain.
Yeah.
You know, this is the gorgeous, glorious product that we create, mm-hmm. however we create it, and
yeah.
whatever is going on behind the scenes, none of your business.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But
exactly.
now, you know, consumers demand so much more transparency.
Of course.
We want to know who's producing the goods that we buy.
Mm-hmm.
We want to know that they're at least doing the right thing, you
mm-hmm.
know, that their corporate citizenship is strong
yes.
and that it's ethical and that
yes.
they have some values.
Mm-hmm.
And like
right.
I said earlier, like I want to know that the people that work there are being paid fairly and
yeah.
that they have paid vacation
exactly.
and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
But I think this sort of like holding on to that closed door mentality and being very opaque with your processes and how you hire, how you fire, you know, like how you run different departments. It's just arcane. It's just a thing
beyond.
Of the past.
It's
yeah.
beyond.
And I don't have any patience for it anymore because we've been moving in this as an industry in jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
We've been moving in this direction for so long.
Mm-hmm.
If
yeah.
you still have like a crappy manager running the floor and
yep.
people and turnover that's just like churning every few months, I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's enough.
It's
yeah.
astonishing to me that in this day and age, that's even a thing that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I hear stories like that, like the one that my client had shared, it's mm-hmm. about, I'm not going to say it, but I'm not saying the name. I just wanted to spook JB a little bit. But when I hear stories like that,
so
I'm always baffled because I'm like, we're still in this?
Right.
We're still
yeah.
in that mode?
Right.
But
right.
also, why? It's only to your company's detriment, ultimately.
Completely.
Because consumers, like you said, Emily, demand so much more from the brands that they purchase
You're going to be found out.
You will.
Right.
You always
well.
Are.
Whether it's through like word of mouth or
yeah.
whether like you contact somebody and get a crappy customer service reply and then dig around on Google through Glassdoor
exactly.
to see what
yeah.
people are like, you know, are feeling who work
Correct.
There, they're going to
be
found out.
You
found
will
out.
Be found
you
out.
Cannot hide.
No, you can't hide
you know
in
what I mean?
Age, anything
yeah.
anymore. And
yeah.
the thing is also that with companies like that, they're only ultimately in the long term undercutting themselves and their
mm-hmm.
ability to sustain their business and to grow their businesses.
Yeah.
But also for, I think for most, for a vast, vast majority of consumer, we've now at this stage, given the context of the world, given the state that it's in, we're so past this being a fad. It's like
yeah.
this needs to be a baseline for
mm-hmm.
anybody doing business. Money
yeah.
is power in this world, and nobody wants to empower businesses that are doing the wrong thing.
Right.
I
right.
do not want to deal with a single business that is enriching a single Russian oligarch at this point.
Right.
I
yeah.
don't want a penny
right.
of my money going to that.
Right.
You
well,
know, like that is, and a lot of consumers think in those terms.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, like
absolutely.
You said,
yeah.
Too, I, researching, it's a habit now for me. Like it's
right?
not just
it's a reflex.
It is.
Yes.
Like
yeah.
I
it
just
be.
Won't
yeah.
shop without knowing as much as I can.
I feel like
mm-hmm.
for sure
yeah.
you won't.
Yeah.
You want the small brand who's doing great work.
Yes. Yeah.
And who you know to be a good person or good
right.
people.
Yeah. And I think we were building these habits as consumers, and I think a lot of these larger businesses are, some might be realizing, but a lot of them aren't yet realizing mm-hmm. that these are the habits, and or there's a reaction yes. happening that they're like,
exactly.
oh shit.
They're and like, wait, we're losing market share. Mm-hmm. What's the other company doing?
Yeah. Exactly.
Are right. people really researching? Yes,
and this
they
is
are.
The kind of real value of a lot of independent jewelry businesses that you and I know, that we're all super familiar with. I love shopping at Foundry. I'm a huge fan of the brand. Mm-hmm. I go there too much, too many times. Too much.
We can tell.
Oh my
but
God.
But it looks good.
What? How could you tell? How did you know?
Accessorized.
But when, every time I go there, I know that everything I buy, I can feel really good about. Because yeah. I can see the workshop downstairs. Right. I know exactly how they operate. I know the owner, Beth, and I know how she works. I know what her philosophy is. And I can trust them. I can trust them in a way that I could never trust. And I love Cartier. I own a bunch of Cartier. Mm. But I can trust Foundry over Cartier in a way that is just totally on a different level. There's that kind of person-to-person contact that you have there, and you really understand where they're coming from and kind of the why of their business.
Yes.
They have
and that's
a great why.
Exactly. Yes. And that's a great point, person-to-person.
Yes.
And I think as consumers, we really are drilling down and trying to meet the person who is responsible for designing that piece.
Yep.
Or, and who is the person who, you know, farms out that piece to their goldsmith, to their bench people.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, I want to know, obviously we have more access than the general public to jewelers and to designers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think that they're so accessible these days mm-hmm. through social media, through emails,
yes.
you know, these small companies
and they want
make
to
incredible
meet you.
Things. They want to meet you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So I think that's a great point. The person to person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and one of the notes we had to discuss was greenwashing and why that's dangerous.
Ugh.
But I think what's interesting about that term is in the last 5 years that I've been doing Jewelry Week, that was a big talking point.
Well, you have
in the first 2 years, greenwashing.
You have to wash your greens.
Well, just that it was so prevalent, right?
Yeah.
But
I
think we're shifting out of that, which I think is a great thing to see. I don't hear the term greenwashing as much. I think it is more prevalent across the board that, like we've been talking about, a lot of people mm-hmm. are greenwashing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're realizing now as consumers that exists. How do we get to the heart of things?
Yeah.
Right.
And something like this B Corp that has this 360 point of view allows us to be a consumer that isn't fooled.
Right.
Now, aside from meeting the criteria, I asked this because we kind of mentioned small businesses, independent designers. Aside from meeting the criteria that they've got to become certified, is mm-hmm. there a cost to trying to get that certification?
There definitely is a cost. Yeah. I don't know what it is.
Okay.
Yeah. But while we're talking,
I was curious about that because I'm wondering about kind of the accessibility of a certification like that.
That's a good point.
And can
it's
a small
point.
Business
yeah.
actually get that certification without them incurring mm-hmm. a massive, massive cost?
Yeah.
On top
that's
of
a really great question.
Else?
It's a good question. But you know what? Most of the brands on, like, of the 6,000 ish brands mm-hmm. that are B Corp certified are small.
Really?
Right. That's I think it's the, that it's more that it's time consuming than it is mm-hmm. expensive.
Got it.
Yeah. And I know I was telling JB earlier, Patagonia, who mm-hmm. we all sort of look at. I mean, the stuff that's been going on with Patagonia, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's an incredible company.
Mm-hmm.
But they said, somebody from that company said in an article that I had read, you know, it's so time consuming and it's just such a time suck to do this certification. But we could see that it was catching on mm-hmm. and we knew we had to mm-hmm. for the consumers mm-hmm. who will be looking at us and saying, well, why aren't you doing this?
Yeah. Oh, you're of all people, well, like, why wouldn't you do it? Yeah.
But it wasn't about, it didn't seem like it was about expense, but mm-hmm. I'm looking while you guys talk.
Yeah. That's what I understand too, but I have no idea the cost. But you had a number of jewelers.
So there's only...
out of the 6,000
businesses. There's only 42 as of July, which is the last number I could find. There's only 42 jewelers globally who are B Corp certified. Yeah.
Any brands that we know?
So,
do we have any larger companies that we would be familiar with who are actually certified?
Well, Monica Rich Cosin is
pretty big.
She's pretty big. Uh-huh. She's still a small business, I would say, but she's pretty well known.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's also some of the lab grown players are now B Corp certified.
That's interesting.
So Mia Donna, and they on their site make a really concerted effort to, you know, storytell around their certification.
Interesting. That's good.
Yeah. So I'm going to pull that up, but there's also, there are several UK brands.
Really?
Yeah. Several UK brands that I hadn't heard about. Mm-hmm. There's Bomma Jewelry, B-O-M-A.
I'm familiar with Bomma. I've heard of them.
Okay. AAPI owned. Mm-hmm. And they say there's social purpose corporation focused on using fashion as a force for good. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
But we're seeing, I mean, we see all these small brands doing this, and I'm thinking about a Tiffany. I'm thinking about, I don't know, a David Yurman, whoever. Why aren't they doing it?
Yeah.
Why don't you want to be in the company of like Eileen Fisher, Patagonia,
exactly.
REI?
Well,
like,
because even though there's only 6,000, I have to say this term has come up over and over again.
Yeah.
And even only 42 jewelers, the fact that we keep hearing this term in the jewelry industry, that's
a good thing.
That's quite great.
Yeah.
I imagine too, because it's still relatively new certification, that if there are issues of accessibility and time, that those things will... it'll sort out, or they'll put work in to make it grow.
Yeah. It'll shake out.
So
right.
Small, so new right now.
Yeah. No, that's true. Right. I mean, that's always what happens.
Yeah. I mean, think about this. In 2021, November 2021, when I wrote about certified B Corps, there were only, I'm going to tell you, 18 jewelry brands.
Wow. Mm.
So in a year, it's doubled.
Wow. That's
fantastic. Maybe there's a ton out there.
Which is great. And I actually have
process or something.
That's very possible.
Let me tell you the early ones. Marin Jewelry in Germany. Mm-hmm. Monica Rich Cozanne, Connecticut. Fenton in London. Mm-hmm. Solios Watches in Quebec. Four Ocean PBC in Boca Raton. Mia Donna in Portland. EC1 in London. Mm-hmm. Yala Jewelry in England.
Mm-hmm. They were
Joya
the first,
Plastica. Oh, were they?
Yala
okay.
Was the first jewelry brand. Company.
And then Soko, which we know from Kenya.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Casa Collab from Peru. Mm-hmm. Noonday Collection from Austin. Me to We from Toronto. Pyra from Vancouver, one of my favorites. Wakami from Guatemala, Dog-Eared Malibu, Fairtrade Jewelry Company from Toronto. So those were like the first.
Yeah. Got it.
And now double and then some.
That's brilliant. Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah. Well, I pulled some info from Yala because I thought it was really interesting to think about why they did it. And a couple of things they said were great. We believe that profitability and sustainability are not mutually exclusive.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Which is so true, right?
So completely. There's a high willingness to pay.
Yeah.
If you can tell me that I can trust you and you can sort of provide with convincing evidence that I can trust you, I would always happily pay whatever that small additional markup is, which is usually, honestly, it's like 5 to 10% of a markup.
Yeah.
Which, you know, to most people, I understand that's not insignificant. But given the grander scale of things, there's a much higher willingness to pay even than that.
Absolutely.
For the comfort of knowing that you're buying something that is responsible.
Well, we were just talking about this in the last podcast we recorded, that even if you don't believe in the warm and fuzzy business, think about it financially.
Yeah,
it's a good business decision.
Yeah.
Exactly. Absolutely. I always say to people, if you're a complete cynic in this world and you care about nothing at the end of the day but your bottom
profit,
line, caring about something like sustainability and equity and all of those things are ultimately great selfish values to have because they will empower your business.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. If you can storytell around those things, it's so powererful in the market right now.
Yes.
So it is just, it's good business. Doing good business is good business. If you're going to be cynical and be like, I just want to make a buck, this is how to boost your bottom line.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's true.
And they also said social and environmental stewardship are not incompatible with the desire for financial success. And I just love that they're putting out the word stewardship, because I think that's so important, that like paving that path, right? Being obviously them being the first, but just that idea of, okay, we realize that our role in this is not a standalone role.
Yeah.
Right. Like we can be stewards for our industry as well.
It's the word that you hear a lot in environmental justice and rights, right? The stewardship and the B Labs, you know, founding stewards. And I think it's a really good word.
Yeah.
Because it's not an owner, It's not somebody owning it. It's somebody who's caring for it, mm-hmm. yeah. whatever it is, right?
Right. And to continue on that, yeah. and this is the last thing I'll say from them, but I thought it was also great. B Corps inspire all businesses to compete not only to be the best in the world, but to be the best for the world.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah.
That's a really great line.
Isn't that great?
Right? It is. Yeah. yeah. Be the yeah. best for the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes small businesses, you're like, oh, I'm just doing my thing. I'm in my studio. It's just for me and my followers. But really, we are all making these incremental, no matter how small, these changes to make things better.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Elaine, you were saying that you would be willing to pay, and you happily pay sort of 5 to 10%.
Yeah. I would happily pay more than that, honestly, for something that right. I know is done properly. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. JB, do you feel the same?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I would. Yeah.
You do.
I do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to. Yeah. And it shifted. I mean, I come from fashion. So, like, fast fashion
yes.
has always been like an interesting place, because I'm always interested in what's next, as I know you mm-hmm. are too. Yep. Like, what's next? What is forward thinking, right? And fast fashion offers that, and jewelry as well. Like, you see the knockoffs yes. coming down the line, yep. and it's appealing.
Right. It's appealing.
But as I've grown older, but also as the world has shifted, and I realize my impact with my wallet, whether it's political or
mm-hmm. it's hard,
it's sustainable.
Yeah.
It's hard, but now I'm like, yeah, I got to do it. Well, you have to do it, right?
You have to do it, but I really struggle with it.
Yeah. It's not,
I struggle to not buy H&M when I want a trend. When I want a trend, I cannot afford.
But listen,
the Comme des Garçons. I'm trying to get
an H&M dress. I love it.
That's the bloody point, though, because as long as we live in a world where sustainability and good ethics are unattainable, none of this, at the end of the day, really matters. One mm-hmm. thing that Andrew and I actually used to say constantly is, like, if a single mom in the Bronx can't afford it,
correct,
it's not sustainable.
Yeah,
correct.
It cannot make a massive global income. So that's mm-hmm. kind of what your barometer should be for those sorts of things. It's like, we need to make sure that it's accessible to everyone.
Yeah.
Like, you two know I have a YSL obsession a little bit. Yes. Maybe a little bit. Yes. A little bit. I don't know.
I couldn't verbalize it before, but now I see it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I can be gross because 5 years ago I was poor. So I can say these things.
Okay. Just 5 years ago?
Yes.
Wow.
And I've been dead poor for a vast majority of my life.
Okay. So, yeah. You've earned it. You've earned that closet of YSL.
Honey. The universe owes me, as far as I'm concerned.
You know what? I love how candid you are about your success. And I love your style.
Thank
and so
you.
You're just the type of person who should have a whole wardrobe of YSL. Yeah.
I am in full agreement.
Full bloom.
Yeah, yeah.
Full
you
agreement.
Look great.
Thank you. Yeah. But what I was going to say was that it's an absolute luxury to be able to do that, obviously. But also the other part is I know how the thing is made.
Right.
Yeah.
I know where it's made.
Right.
I know where it has to be made.
Right.
Right. And I know sort of what materials they have to use. I know the fashion group that owns them, that forbids them from using certain materials, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So, and to that point, the more restricted the rules have gotten, I believe YSL is owned by Kering.
Kering.
Yeah. YSL is owned by Kering.
Mm. Okay.
Ever since Kering became stricter and stricter about their guidelines for all of the brands that they own, as far mm-hmm. as like not utilizing fur, the kinds of materials they use, the way that they manufacture their goods,
mm-hmm.
A lot of their brands have actually grown more successful.
In
the last year, YSL alone had an over 30% increase in business.
Wow.
And YSL is relatively a very small fashion brand compared to like a Louis Vuitton or something like that.
Okay.
Right? They're sort of much smaller than those companies.
Mm-hmm.
They've had a third of an increase in their business.
Wow.
And it sort of just kind of harkens back to the point of, yes, obviously.
You think people are paying attention to their like tightening of the processes?
I know they are because when you walk into that store, it's the first thing every single sales clerk tells you.
Really?
It's the first thing they tell us when you walk in there. It's I pick up a pair of boots and I say, Python. They're like, absolutely not. It's not Python.
Wow.
It's cow leather cut to look like snake skin boot. Or before that, it was like water snake, which was a more sustainable source than using Python, which are endangered, et cetera, et cetera. So It's the first thing they tell you. I'm sure they're trained to do this.
Yeah.
And they love telling you, you know what, in this particular style, we don't use poly anything anymore. This is just straight chiffon now because we're trying to cut plastics out. You know, that's
fantastic.
Sort of thing. So it's a brilliant thing that they're doing. And I'm sure that that's contributed in part to their success. I'm sure it doesn't account for all of their success. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, at the end of the day, with fashion design is what people really care about.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that there's a large contingent of their clientele that feels much more comfortable spending their money. I know
I'm sure.
Do.
Yeah.
I know I feel much greater comfort just knowing that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it makes me, it sort of engenders more of that brand loyalty. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's why I just stick to them because
they're
like
vetted.
They
you vetted them.
Yes. Yeah. I feel comfortable. I feel that sense of comfort, even though they're a larger brand. I understand how sort of what Kering is doing. And I understand on the ground level from the staff, what's happening within the store, and they tell us all the stories. So there's a kind of understanding of I can feel better about this, and therefore my willingness to pay is higher. I have found, not to badmouth who I sell, I found shirts very similar to this online that I can get for $120. Wow. I literally get those ads on Instagram that are you would like this, you know, here's like a chiffon, whatever shirt.
Right.
I don't know where the hell that thing came from.
Right.
I don't know. So I would love to only spend $120 on a shirt.
Right.
Like this. But I have no clue where it was
Your
made.
Your sense of
how
social responsibility
made.
Stops you.
Yeah. And I'm like, you know what? I'd rather go down to myself, pay more, and I'll feel much better about it.
Right.
And I think that I can't be the only person.
I don't think you're alone. I mean, I think that those sentiments are just spreading. I mean, I think that's just growing and growing and growing.
Yeah.
So I think especially at the price point that we are at with fine jewelry, you know, I think that's just going to become those demands and sort of those expectations are going to become more important for businesses.
And I think honestly, it's easier to do with jewelry than something. Clothing is a necessary good.
I agree because I think the access, when we talk about accessibility,
it's already high.
H&M is, that's why we're there.
That's
right?
Why we're there.
Exactly.
That's why
you're
honest, there.
I can't go into YSL.
Right.
I don't have the luxury of being that. I don't.
We can follow Elaine into YSL, but we can't shop there.
Right. And that's what's hard about it is it's problematic, right? And I think that's what,
and that's why,
with this time suck aside, we can see that moving into other price points of jewelry. Because like you said, most of these that we've mentioned are fine jewelers.
Absolutely.
But I do think fine jewelry is more problematic in the first place, you know.
How so? Yeah. What do you mean?
I mean, contemporary jewelry has the luxury of being driven by materials that are unique in the first place.
Okay.
So if you're making jewelry with paper, you can use recycled paper. I don't know. I mean, there are those
recycled glass.
It could be a little bit more flexible.
Okay.
And I don't mean it's bad that fine jewelry is perhaps more problematic. I think it's just inherent in
it's
what
not
that
a very green
you know?
Like to make fine jewelry is not a green process.
No,
it's,
you have
I mean,
to
fundamentally
mine for gold.
You have to mine
to
and also
gemstone.
The chemicals that you have to use
exactly.
too.
It's never going
to
be
it's
a
never
going to
be
industry.
Sort of like
never.
This amazing clean industry. It's not.
You cannot have in fine jewelry the equivalent of like, well, that shirt is made out of bamboo instead of cotton.
Right.
You can't do that because it has to be
it
gold.
It has to be gold.
And, you know, and gemstones
are
it.
Being dug up. Right. Yeah.
That is what it is for now.
So we just have to push the needle to making it more sustainable.
Right. So if you can't, if the materials and sort of like the actual benchwork of dunking things into chemicals and stuff, if that can't be clean, you know, like clean up the rest.
That's my thing, honestly, with everything. I do not like I'm just going to say this. I don't care what people think.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm very lefty as a person, as far as my own political views go. Mm-hmm. I do not like the sort of tendency and the trend of my leftist peers applying a purity test to everything. Mm-hmm. If we can't do it all the way, well, to hell with it, we won't do it at all. That is not a practice that gets us as a society absolutely anywhere. So we need to operate with that mentality of like, we get what we can get.
Better, not best.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Perfect is the enemy of the good, right?
Yes.
So you're never going to get anywhere looking for perfect.
Right.
And we will never be able to shift an entire society in the right direction looking for perfect. And that is not a way to bring people along with you. We also have to think of it in terms of bringing people along with you with the process.
Right.
So we do what we can.
Yeah.
So if you can't do all of the steps to be, for instance, B Corp certified and all of that,
yeah.
What can you do as a smaller shop to try to do a little better within sort of the restrictions that you have before you.
Exactly.
Think about those things as well. You don't have to go B Corps right away if that is not an attainable goal for you right now.
Right.
But what can you as an individual or a smaller company do with your steps of production, with how you run your shop, with how you treat your employees to push the needle a little bit better into the right direction?
I think a good sort of analog for jewelry is beauty. I love beauty. And I love beauty social media.
I love beauty.
Do you do like makeup tutorial kind of things?
I have. No, but I'm not really so much into the makeup, but the skincare. Okay. Like, I'm ridiculous. The amount of skincare that I travel with is ridiculous.
Me too.
I will pull out my entire cabinet right now.
I mean,
I love and am obsessed with skincare.
Your skin is incredible. Obsessed. Both of your skins.
Oh, thank you.
Your skins.
Thank you, Dr. Idleman.
Yes.
Doctor.
And I'm like, thanks, Olay.
Cetaphil.
Thanks, Cetaphil.
I'll recommend something to you after. Using that.
That is amazing.
You have great skin.
It's beginning. The whole thing's beginning. And I'm feeling pressure from Madonna and Gwen Stefani and everybody who's getting so much stuff shoved into their face.
Madonna in the DMs like, why aren't you doing this?
Madonna's in my DMs like with a perfectly blown up like, perfect face at 60 whatever.
How does she know?
I literally look at Madonna's Instagram and I just am confused.
I am sustainability. So
that's
confused.
Not sustainable. The
butt implants. Confusing.
Injectables.
Injectables.
Not
implants. Injectables.
Injectables.
Even
more confusing. Because needles do you need to get into a bum before you get that shape?
I mean, the shape is curvaceous.
Is it painful?
It seems like it would be.
I have no patience for that period of pain of what getting your ear pierced.
Yes.
Right? When you can't sleep on it for a few months. I'm
so
like,
I get fillers. I get injectables.
Yeah.
And
I would never know that.
Thank
you. Because you have a good doctor.
We only talk about it on this pod all the time.
That's right. Actually, I have heard you say that.
Yeah. Dr. Heidelman at Chelsea Skin and Laser.
That's right.
Thank
that's
you.
Right.
Yeah. But it is.
It's
painful.
Good that you're starting at 17. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Start young.
Preventative. Yeah. I got a face full of Botox at 15 for the first time.
Right.
And I thought,
just
we
freeze
gotta
it up.
Do this
freeze
now.
It up for the
freeze
future.
It now.
Right.
Freeze it where it is right now. Right here.
The opinions shared
when
on this podcast are not necessarily
those
of NYC Jewelry Week.
True. But wait, let me talk to you about beauty for
a
minute.
True.
Because 20 years ago, this gorgeous store opened on Abbot Kinney in Venice in Los Angeles.
Mm, yeah, I love that.
And
love
it was called Vert, or Vare, I guess.
Is
V-E-R-T.
Is this a podcast?
Hang on.
I don't know.
And the owner, but I was really, really psyched because it was an all-natural beauty brand boutique.
But again, all-natural, what does that mean?
Right, but I mean, it was, I mean, back then, 20 years ago, beauty was a cesspool.
Yeah,
like, there was so much stuff in our beauty product.
All these chemicals on your face.
Yeah, we were just like slathering sewage across our face.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so this woman was like, I don't like this. And she was like an ex-hippie.
Sewage.
She opened this gorgeous store in Abbot Kinney. It closed. No one was interested. And I remember writing a big story about it for the Los Angeles Times because I was so excited about it.
So
I thought,
cool.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that we were putting all these things on our face and I didn't realize how bad it was.
Mm-hmm.
And she talked a lot about toxicity and these kinds of things. And so my point in this story is that the beauty industry was not ready.
Yeah.
The beauty industry had not embraced the fact that it was toxic, essentially, like across the board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also the consumers were not pushing the beauty industry to be cleaner.
They weren't as educated.
Exactly.
That's part of
it. That's
a big part of it, consumer education, right? They don't know what they should be conscious of.
Exactly. So thinking about jewelry, that's kind of, I feel like, where we were 5 years ago, and we've come forward.
Do you think that the average consumer is now more educated, though, about jewelry production and...
I don't know if they are on the ins and outs, but the knowledge of things are not okay. How can I find stuff that is okay, right? Like, they know enough to, not to discredit them, I'm sure there are some that know, but I think they know enough to put in research to find something that resonates for them, right?
Agreed.
Whatever it may be.
Agreed.
Right?
Agreed. But, and they know about, like, the Kimberly process.
Right, yes.
You know what I mean?
I think the,
which is flawed, but exists.
In Ukraine
and the war in Ukraine.
Yeah.
Yep.
Kimberly,
a lot of
who
things.
Can't drive, really. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lost. What?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. But get into this, though. I'm going to give you a controversial hot take here.
Okay, hot take.
And this is...
We need one of those buttons like they have.
Hot take.
Ding!
Like, yeah, exactly. It's time for a hot take. Yeah,
yeah, some sort of...
Like a terrible like 80s radio show where it's like, ba-ba-ba-bow, you know, yes, like that sort
it.
Of thing.
Yeah, that's what we need.
Ba-ba-ba-bow.
Hot take. Hot take. You know, yeah, that sort of thing.
And then the screen, it comes racing up. Hot
yeah,
take.
Hot take. That's it. That's the one.
All right, now we're ready for the hot take.
Here's my hot take, and this is my German upbringing speaking, and I say this, this frustrates me about Americans so much.
Okay.
Chemical doesn't mean bad. Mm. Natural doesn't mean good. Mm. Every process on this earth is one chemical,
right.
And there's nothing, if you want to be really sort of big picture about it, there's nothing in this universe that is unnatural, because if it were, it wouldn't exist.
It wouldn't be on the universe. Yeah. Yeah, right.
So
right.
That's first and foremost. Second, most chemical compounds that we've been also taught by certain sectors of the beauty industry to fear is complete and utter horseshit.
Well, that's coming out now,
and
right?
And that's something that people are sort of educating themselves more about now. And many natural ingredients that we've been taught to look for are actually carcinogenic. Mm-hmm. They're actually polluting the environment when they go down your sink, and they actually cause skin irritation, etc.,
right,
etc.
Right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like essential oils are horrible for your skin. You should never be putting anything with essential oils on your skin. It's a known irritant for a vast majority of the populace, mm-hmm. right? Also, the extraction of essential oils is hardly a sustainable process.
Right.
So there are all of these things that I see this a lot in America, this kind of equating of natural with good, and chemicals are always bad.
Yeah.
That's not how the world works. Yeah. That's not, you know, you yourself, you are a chemical meat machine.
Right.
Everything in your body is a chemical process of one kind or another. It's how you live. It's how you function. Mm. Right.
Well, and if we see jewelry following the arc of what you're talking about with this scrutiny and what you're talking about with this knowledge, if jewelry is following that arc, then we're just coming around.
Exactly. We're coming around now. The band.
Like I think beauty is there. Yes. You know what I mean? Beauty is there. Fashion is getting there.
And but do you think that beauty is there because and sort of fashion is getting there slowly but surely, because both are still relatively so much more accessible to a larger portion of the
such
population.
Such a good point.
Like beauty cares about those things, the beauty industry, because there's so many people, more people who can buy
who experience beauty,
products,
right? Who experience it.
Who then can actually afford to care about.
That's a great point.
Because now you have great brands that are sort of quote unquote clean, and I don't like this term of like clean beauty brands, because that terminology is misused a lot in the industry. But there are a lot of sort of brands that fall under that category. Like a famous one that's been around for a long time is Paula's Choice. It's a smaller independent brand that has always sort of ascribed to that kind of philosophy.
Are they not? I like Paula's Choice.
They are. I love Paula's Choice. I still use their
the
products.
BHA.
Yeah.
I use
the 2% BHA. It's my favorite thing in the world.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I have oily skin and I need it.
Okay.
But Naturium is a newer one that's really great. There's, Drunk Elephant. There are all these newfangled, smaller companies that do all of those things. But they can sell you a product. I think that Paula's Choice BHA is like $20.
Yeah,
And it lasts you for like 2 months.
Right.
So like people can afford to care about those things, and they can get
knowingly
good for you and good for the earth product without having to pay a fortune.
Right. They can play in the sandbox. Yeah. Whereas with fine jewelry, there's a price bar.
Exactly.
Well, I think what's interesting though, to the point of accessibility, is so we were talking about H&M, right? Mm-hmm. Being it's very accessible, but also that's a big city store.
You're right. When I was in my university town in Bloomington, Indiana, where I went to school, we didn't have
H&M. They didn't have H&M there, no. Well, and where I'm from, middle of Kansas, people buy jewelry. The accessible place to buy fine jewelry is Walmart. That's the reality.
Right.
The reality.
I didn't know they had jewelry.
If you go to the JCK shows, you can see this is where the jewelry
is bought by Walmart.
Is coming from.
That's
exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Really?
And that's a huge market.
And like
that's
diamonds at Costco.
Accessible. Costco
about a place
as well.
Like
Costco
Zales.
They have that as well, but that's an upper tier. This is the reality of that is where you shop. Mm-hmm. It's not about
It's access as in also geographical access.
Yeah, that's right. It's everyone shops there. Mm-hmm. If you, that's where you shop, mm-hmm. and yeah. there's jewelry mm-hmm. there, and it, yes, it's accessible, but yeah. also that trickle down of the sustainable conversation and the way we're talking about it, from materials to how you treat your employees, right? Mm-hmm. To accessibility on a whole, that conversation isn't happening at Walmart around no. jewelry.
No, and I that, doubt it very much. But
that
but it is
will
happening.
Happen eventually.
I
though.
Will say I did right. notice this even when I was back in Bloomington in Indiana, like years ago. At this point, the Kroger, which is the
supermarket.
Yeah, yeah. Are you guys familiar?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know how regional they are, but yeah. I think most people know that this is a grocery chain, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Kroger there started having a massive, huge organic section throughout their shop that ended up just mm-hmm. becoming basically standard practice for them for stores across the country.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. that was really fascinating to me because I always thought about who's in the economic bracket who goes to a Kroger. And right. for them to then have like access to organic foods and not have to go to a Whole Foods and pay Whole Foods prices. Yeah. That's the kind of thing that makes a really large scale impact.
Right.
But mm-hmm. it also tells you where the consumer is across the board, that like you don't have to be somebody who's got money to care about sustainability. This tells right. you that like the population as a whole cares about these things, because otherwise Kroger wouldn't be doing it.
Right, right. Yeah, though exactly. it is one aisle, yeah. two aisles.
Yes, yes.
Right?
Yes.
So
yes,
it's, yes. And it has been for a decade.
Yes.
That's what right. I keep thinking. Okay, so it's I'm going, slow, we have Giant. It's a slow mm-hmm. crawl.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But I think that yeah. definitely sort of, you know, dovetails into what you were talking about, JB, about mm-hmm. how like the beginning tiers, the Walmarts, the yeah. Kohl's mm-hmm. of fine right. jewelry, where you're looking at silver, mm-hmm. you're looking at, you know, I don't know if you're looking at diamonds, but you're looking at, you know,
there's
amethysts.
Diamonds, yeah.
There's
there
diamonds?
Are, there
okay.
Diamonds,
all right.
Yeah.
They have, do they have, yeah. they have real diamonds? They sell real diamonds?
Very small.
Very, very small.
I mean, it's also security issues. You know, there's other oh, yeah, things yeah. that play into
yeah, because it's a big yeah, shop. Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
I think too, just even it's a Walmart, and for us that in New York, that is a general store, right?
Right.
For
right.
us, but it's still a luxury item.
Of course.
And that's
it is.
The thing. Sustainability and luxury in that conversation in a lot of the smaller towns in America, that's not a crossover. Sustainability.
No,
luxury,
no it's not.
Right?
No.
Sustainability is coming in slowly. A lot of different ways in beauty products, right? In other mm-hmm. things you can buy at mm-hmm. Walmart, cleaning products. That's a big
right.
one as
food.
Well.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Food, yeah. organics, right? Yeah. That stuff you're seeing. But to think about,
we're not even
that.
Close, not to, close that. To that. Yeah, to yeah. sort of to layering and sustainability, and even like and even if there was a company, say a JCK, yeah. who was sort of a feeder and one of the big vendors for Walmart, mm-hmm. would Walmart even feel that its customer base would care?
Yeah,
I do you know what I mean? Like,
so.
Would the marketing
the
be? Would it be worthwhile to market that? Is that even a point of
consideration? I wonder who's thinking that now.
Yeah.
I'm sure there is someone thinking
yeah, like
about
when's
this.
The right time yeah. to bring in a little stand yeah. of jewelry that we can sort of like buffet marketing around yeah. talking about how it's clean or how it's
yes.
environmentally sensitive. Yeah. They yeah. have to be close.
Well, because I'm sure Amazon is, I don't yes. know enough about what Amazon does, but Amazon is accessible
either.
Everywhere, right?
Yeah.
Even
yeah.
They're doing
even
great.
In these small towns, you're getting, yeah. you're, everyone's
way,
still shopping
they're
at
doing
Amazon.
Great.
They're doing fine.
If
but
you
I
didn't know, Amazon's doing fine.
Right. Yeah.
Well,
they're,
I know
they're
they
doing
recently.
Really, I need you to know, JB, that they're doing okay.
They're
yeah.
But they've very recently started talking about sustainability and fashion and
right.
Amazon. So I can't, I don't
do you watch
know
that
what's
making
happening.
The cut.
No.
With Heidi Klum and Tim Gunn.
I don't watch it.
No,
it's like their version of Project Runway,
right.
And they hired Heidi Klum and Tim Gunn.
That's so funny.
I watch
so
it. Funny. You know why I watch it?
Why?
Because the winner gets $1 million. They get $1 million and they get to sell their brand on Amazon.
Ooh.
Why the hell wouldn't you want to apply to that?
That's yeah. interesting. Well, Amazon has started their sort of like handmade shops and regional shops. Have you seen that,
no,
JP? Because I actually thought of you. You can be a handmade brand that sells on Amazon, and they have a little vertical for that. Like
really?
If you look up handmade whatever. And then you can search by state.
Oh, no way.
Yes, you can be
that.
Like, yes, you can be like handmade,
from
right, handmade items in from Kansas, like made in
oh,
Kansas.
Wow.
Yeah, Virginia did not have an amazing array.
Yeah.
A lot of like logo t-shirts, but
is
I think
it it's Kansas?
New York had, I no, I just looked at
say,
Virginia, but New
Kansas
York had an amazing
say.
Array of handmade items.
I'm sure.
Who did?
New York.
Yeah. If you hit New York, you get just a lot of great stuff.
I know.
Yeah.
Guys, do that.
Yeah.
Do that. Also, like, maybe don't shop at Amazon. Shop elsewhere first.
Yeah, I
shop at Amazon.
I mean, I'll be honest with you guys. Again, so hard not to.
And it's hard in New York not to.
Toilet paper. Are we done?
I was just going to ask.
We might be done, right?
Is this an episode?
Okay, wait. Let's close this out.
Like, could it be a shorter episode? A tighter episode?
It could have been. We can cut a half an hour out of this easily.
I don't even know. I remembered we're talking about B Corps.
We're talking about B Corps.
Like, wait, why am I here?
I know.
I love catching up with you guys. This is so fun.
So fun.
I'm telling you, you know what? Every time we do an episode like this that is just sort of all over the place, everybody loves them. And I always think I'm just going to, JB, this one's trash. Nobody's
terrible. Right.
And then it comes out and people are like, oh, you guys just rambling. We love that. And I'm like,
I mean, I listen to a lot of chatty podcasts like that.
But you know what? I actually, when I think on it, I never listen to anything sort of structured or organized. Mm-hmm. It's just sort of a mess of people talking.
People like chatting it out.
Maybe we can try less with this and just have...
Are we trying more?
Well, you prepped really well for this conversation.
You did. This was
we
great.
Did a little prep.
We did.
Yeah, you guys.
I hope we got at it. I hope we explained it to people.
I feel like we gave a good overview. But I'm just going to tell you guys, if you want to check it out, B, just the letter, corporation.net. We'll throw this up on the caption. We'll throw up the articles that you wrote.
Send us the links.
Yeah. And we can talk about this one again, though, I think, as things shift.
Yeah.
And hopefully you'll come back.
Will you come back, Emily?
I would love to.
I'd love to have you.
We could just
chatting with you guys.
Shoot the shit with Emily for an hour and call it an episode.
I know. We could just talk about jewelry we like.
That might be a biscuit too far.
Yeah.
But just a little bit.
Things we hate. That's our favorite topic.
What is it?
Things we love and things we hate.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really good.
We should do one. Let's do one. Things we love, things we hate. I love that. I love that.
Google it.
Elaine's face makes me laugh.
All right, we're done. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, you guys.
Thank you for joining us.
I love the show and I love you guys and I so appreciate this. Fun!
And she'll be back. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Probably gonna end up in a boo for real. Yeah. I have for years had an inside joke with Andrew about if there was a Real Housewives. This requires context. If there was a Real Housewives of Perth, Australia, I have a childhood friend who grew up in Perth, so, so that's why that was on my mind. And Perth, Australia, is a mining community famous for coal mining. That's what it was built on. We always have this sort of fantasy inside joke about if there were a Real Housewives of Perth. What would your tagline be? Again, coal mining community. So this is mine. Okay, I'm going to do a terrible Australian accent. It's going to be really bad, so don't judge that. Okay. Mine is this. I may be a coal miner's daughter, but I'm digging for gold.
It's amazing.
I love it.
Yeah, that's you should be proud of that one. That is really good.
I'm so good. You know, I am unreasonably proud of that one.
I mean...
I have heard it a few times.
She has heard it.
JP's like... I can't pretend that this is first blush. I don't know.